Thank you, BBS, for making this possible for us. It is today Wednesday, June 7th, 2017. My name is Gijs Minderhout. I'm located in Paradise, California. As we get together with a bunch of people, pretty much all from the United States of America, although many other countries are on Win His mailing list, and we've had many other people join in from many other countries on our conference calls. I welcome you all, and I believe that May,
yes,
not
hi.
Month, but the lady
for
is present.
Here.
Hello, May.
Hello, hi.
How are you?
I am still alive.
All right. As long as you are breathing.
Yeah, at the moment, I'm trying to figure out how I can not breathe and still be here, but I haven't quite figured that out yet.
No.
I know Terry does it quite often.
Yeah. She had her doctor baffled one time when she stopped her heartbeat.
Well, you know what really puzzles me is the Elohim and Ra'an are always telling Terry, you're in a physical body. You have to have physical nutrition.
Yep.
And she knows this. And it's like, okay, she knows this, but she still won't eat properly.
I think she's eating properly.
She is now for the moment, but the good majority of her life, you know, if it weren't for her connection, you know, I think she would have been dead a long time ago, because I don't know if you were here when she was talking about how her hip was going out. And I forgot, this was at her, channeling class that she goes to. And she was asking, I can't remember which person who does the channeling, she wants to get her hip fixed. And the person that she was talking to who was channeling says, you want us to fix your hip? And she goes, yes. And you want us to fix your hip, even though you're overweight and you're not eating properly. They said this to her. And she goes, yes. And they go, okay. So they did tell her, we're going to fix it. It's not going to be fixed to the proper standards. So I'm just waiting for her to get in proper nutrition so they can fix everything to more than just subpar standards.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering how her trampoline's going to do, and I do hope that she keeps up the nutrition because she is in a human body.
Yeah. I cannot speak of it because I'm a super bad eater, and I don't take care of my... I'm just living and eating what I want to eat.
Well, then you're very lucky.
Yeah. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Michelle in Cambria. How are you?
Hello, Michelle. Welcome to the call.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for being here. We are here with May from Concord.
Oh, hi. Hi, May.
Hello, Michelle.
Hi.
We were just talking about nutrition and how lucky Heiss is that he can eat whatever he wants.
Well, I shouldn't say that. I'm just not taking care of it. And I feel healthy, but I don't know where I am.
Somebody else chimed in. Welcome to the call.
All right. I missed that one. Thank you. That must be Dharmananda.
Yeah, it's me.
Welcome to the call, Dharmananda.
Yeah, you too. Thank you
for being here. Somebody else joined in after you. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Ron in Mountain Grove, Missouri.
Hello, Ron. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. How are you doing, Ice?
Doing well.
Good.
How about you?
Hanging in there.
All right. How's the weather over there?
Oh, we finally got some really nice weather.
All right.
Warmed up and cooled down, and
yeah.
Three or four days coming up, just perfect weather.
Hey, we happen to be with four people from around here right now on the phone, Central Northern California, and I don't know about you guys, but we are going to have rain here tomorrow, 90% chance.
Uh-huh.
Well,
hello.
It'll rain, but it'll, like, evaporate before it hits the ground.
Maybe so. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. If you want to. We do.
Hi, it's Steve.
Yes?
From Atlantic City. How are you tonight?
Good to call. Good to have you. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Fine, thanks.
All right. Anytime you say Atlantic City, I think of I've been there once at the nighttime when I was working on the other side of the bridge over there. But it made a big impression. I mean, knowing Las Vegas and then Atlantic City, something totally different.
What were you working on, the bridge?
No, on the other side of the bridge, but it's Summer Point.
Oh, it's Summer Point. Yeah, I know where that was.
Yes, at the garden center over there, McGuire's.
I know exactly where it is.
All right. All right. We had more people joining in here. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, this is Cherie in Dallas.
And hi, this is Jane in Pennsylvania.
Welcome to the call, Jane.
Thank you.
Hi, this is April.
Hello, April. Welcome.
Hi.
Good to have you all. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Deb in Oregon.
Hello, Deb. Good evening to you.
Hi.
And welcome. All right. And I welcome all those folks that are here listening in through BBS Radio Online. We can't hear you. We can't see you, but we are glad you're participating. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Welcome to the call, Don. Thank you for being here. More people have joined in. Welcome. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Susan in Virginia.
Hi, Susan. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Welcome to the next caller. Name and location.
Hi, this is Terry in Sedona.
Hello, Terry. Good evening and welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Hi, Terry.
Hello.
Oh, Terry.
Hey. Hi.
Terry, did you get your trampoline yet?
We're working on it. It's half three-fourths put together. It's one of those things you have to put it together.
All right. Welcome next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Roger in Austin.
Hey, Roger. Good evening. Welcome.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening. Hey, Terry, when you use your trampoline, try not to get airborne.
Yeah, okay.
You'll never see you again.
That's he was out of it.
All right, there's
right
the
helicopter.
So the helicopter's up there, and we will wait for wind to touch the ground here shortly.
Yeah.
Has anybody out there ever eaten chia seeds?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You have? Oh, okay.
I have them every day.
Oh, are they edible? I mean, do they taste good or just bland or what?
Be good for you, Don.
I put mine in a smoothie.
Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Jeannie in Citrus Heights, California.
Hi, Jeannie. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
It's Wynn in Sedona.
Hello, Wynn in Sedona.
Is Terry on the line?
Yes, it's good to have you, but it's not so good to have you on the regular phone line instead of a moderator.
Oh, I got the wrong. Terry, what did you do? Come on the regular phone line.
Yeah, you got to take care of your own business, Wynn. Okay, hang up. Bye. See you in a moment. All right. As we are live on BBS Radio, thank you all for being here this evening. Good evening. Welcome to the call. A double welcome to you, Ben.
I'm back.
I know.
Terry, you're not ready, are you?
No.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Ready unless I'm telling the joke. Then I'm ready a lot of the time.
All right. Got to
okay, who is that? Now we don't know who came on.
Here we go, Wynn.
This conference is being recorded.
This is June 7th, 2017. Wynn and Terry in Sedona, everybody everywhere, and another edition of You Got Questions, We Got Answers. And you know what? We don't have a lot of questions tonight, which is fine. That means whatever we're doing is working because people are getting their own inner guidance, which is ultimately the most important thing.
All callers are unmuted.
Am I right about that, guys?
Yes.
Right. Yes.
Yes.
I say, am I right? Nobody answers. Well, thank you, guys, for answering.
They're all submitting questions right now.
They're what? They're submitting questions? I mean, even I don't have that many questions. You know, for years, I would be getting on with our sources, and I'd be asking about everything. At a certain point, I said, okay, I can see how it works. And then how do you play your part? And, you know, I'm going to share with you. I have been working for the last 3 days, okay? And I've been working, you know, when I first started doing this, and for years actually, not even first starting, I had the idea that people had to educate themselves as to who the Elohim group were and who the Ra group were, and then, you know, we spent a lot of time doing sessions, me talking, answering questions, and trying to make the point that these guys were real. They are as real as you and I, maybe more real than you and I. And over time, we got into a closer and closer connection with them, to the point where people on the line, on the call, started to feel the connection. As far out and as crazy as it might seem, that they started to become not just my friend or Terry's friend, but your friend. Does that make sense? Is that real for you guys?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's real for one person, right?
It's definitely real.
Yeah. Now, maybe not everyone's having this experience. And the people that have been coming to the calls for quite some time started to get that. It's not something you can jump in and say, I got it, except maybe for some people, they may be right on the edge of a quantum leap in their own process, and they might get it right away. But for most people, we come and we find out that we have all kinds of conditioned belief systems. Let's see, who's making all that noise? There we go. Let's try to get through it. We come in with conditioned belief systems. We come in as Christians or New Age or it doesn't matter. The planet is filled with things to believe in, and many of them have substance. Okay? Guys, are you trying to mute somebody? Okay. I'm sitting here muting people that are making clicking and background noises. And somebody at 575 area code, and we think we know who that is, somehow they kept unmuting, which you can do. But I'm not punishing you. I'm just, I've got all the lines open so people can talk. And if you're making noise in the background, if you're making dinner or whatever, I'm going to mute you, okay? Because it screws up everybody else's ability to have a smooth flow. Okay, so now you have to look at the process of how it works. And it's not been the easiest process because it's not like you can just say, I could tell you, okay, the Elohim's on the line. Have faith. They're here. What do you want to say to them? They're listening. Tell them your hopes and dreams, and I'd be an evangelist. Well, that doesn't work for me, and it doesn't ground it, really, in you. It's telling you to believe something because I'm saying it. And the ultimate thing is somehow you need to have your own experience. And as we've observed things over years, there's a backlog of phenomena, whatever, that have occurred. It's a pretty compelling case that they are really on the line. And the Ra group is on the line. Or I don't think the whole Elohim is. I don't understand how they have the time to come and talk to us when there's a whole universe out there. And I don't know how they manage themselves. Or they assign a certain group to our group. Or because they're outside of time, then they can do way more because they can move in time and out, in time and out. And maybe what goes by like 10 or 15 minutes with us is like 10 seconds to them. And then they go somewhere else in their 10 seconds. And maybe it's an hour to that group. You know, I'm just hypothesizing because the question is, how can they cover the whole universe? And maybe in a lot of cases, people don't ask for them. Things are on evolutionary paths, for better or for worse. And if no one knows they're there, then things just keep going and people stay in the reality that they're in. I mean, they have said many times that what we're doing is a very rare occurrence for our planet and maybe for any planet. And maybe when we open up talking to them tonight, I'll ask a couple of questions. Let me see. Unless we're not getting any important questions, which I don't see here. Let me just double check and see. Ask them about that. Because part of my dilemma is how to make this important to more people without turning it into another religion or a cult. And probably some people would look at it and already think it's a cult. And then they hear a bunch of people and they're all listening to me. And you know, people will think, what a bunch of blind followers, it'll look that way. Well, I can't help that. It is what it is. I'm not going to readjust what's true so it fits someone else's approval rating, so to speak. But part of my idea of doing whole planet healing was to see if I could shortcut the whole time period for someone to experience the energies that we're working with. And, you know, I started it out, and I was fairly unconfident. I was fairly saying, I don't know how to do this. What am I going to do? You know, we tried different things, and I was fumbling. And you guys kept coming along. And instead of judging me, you kept supporting it. And there was enough positive coming through, even though we were fumbling, okay? And then you were kind of training me by me tracking the energy and seeing what was working. And, you know, for what was working, it was like, I can feel when the energy comes in. And my greatest, I won't say fear, apprehension is that I'll come on and the energy won't show up. And then I'm not doing this myself. I'm doing it with help, lots of help. And I'm not, my part of it is to figure out how to make the energy come true. What's the format? And then the better I do that, the more it comes through. And I really didn't like the idea of being the center of attention for this for a number of reasons. I thought, well, I'll just write books and blah, blah, blah. And then Terry was so shy that it was like, how do I get Terry to be in the public, you know? And we did it. You know, it took a while. Terry, are you happy being in the public now?
Yeah. You know, I remember when I was a kid and I played at a piano recital and I totally screwed it up. That sounded, nobody noticed. I mean, I'm sure the teachers noticed, but the audience didn't notice. But I just screwed it up, and I decided that I wasn't going to appear before the public ever again. And I refused to give recitals after that.
Hey, did you know I did the same thing?
Yeah. Hey, but you are brave.
Well, I wasn't that brave. I was in fifth grade or something. I was taking piano lessons, and I was playing something. And I had this thing where I would always do something over my head, including right now. I'm doing something over my head, but I would aim high. So I picked a piece that was really hard to play, and I don't think I ever played it in private well. But I don't know why I picked that piece. It was dumb. But there I was playing it. And the piano person was sitting next to me. And I was fumbling and hitting bad notes. And then it came to a place where I could have stopped. It really didn't stop there, but it sounded like it might have. So I got to that place, and I stopped, okay? And I got up, and the person who was leading the assembly said, you're not finished yet. And I looked at her and I said, oh, yes, I am.
And I went and I sat down, and I mean, all these people were saying, oh, that was really good. That was really good. And I didn't do any more piano recitals, okay?
I didn't either.
The next thing I did was when I was writing songs, and I got up in front of, well, I used to just play them for people. I mean, I was such a shy kid, but when I played songs, my songs had a certain introspection to them. And I would get acknowledgement. Like people said, oh, it sounds like you wrote that about me. I could identify with that. So it kept encouraging me. And that's why I kept writing songs. But I don't want to go into all of that. I want to go back to whole time healing. So the question, I was going to start promoting it, right? After about a couple of months, I thought we had some semblance of order to it. And then Terry hit the skids, and I put everything off because I said, this is going to be a big job getting her better. I didn't even know if I could, but I figured if there was possibility for a miracle, we would have one because the Elohim do love her, and they love having her be that one of their voices in this realm. So for months now, you know, I've been afraid to promote Whole Planet Healing because, you know, it's not just about getting more people on the line. It's not about numbers. There's a certain masterfulness in doing this so it works. And it's just like I'm talking now. I'm being transparent. And if I'm on Whole Planet Healing, and if I have new people, and if I talk with this level of transparency, people tend to get into it. Now, I've had complaints at different times from people that tell me, Lynn, I'm getting bored with you. You're not doing anything new. You're not... I don't want to hear your story again. I don't want to hear your girlfriends. And I came to the conclusion that I can be entertaining, but my focus is not on entertainment. My focus is on service. And, you know, the highest, you know, one of the things Jesus said, which I thought about and I understood it, you know, and I probably am going to get this wrong, but he talked about the lost sheep, and they're the most important. It's like, if I kept playing for you guys, then we would become a cult. We'd be the superior ones. You guys, now we know how to hold energy. I'm convinced a good many of you, if not all of you, but I don't want to say all, but a good many of you, come on the line, and you hold energy. And it doesn't quite matter what I say or what, you know, you go along with things because you kind of trust the process. And you've gotten onto the call enough that the energy just already comes in right away, just like it comes in right away on this call. So, if you can do that and don't start thinking, there's Lynn telling his story again. Or wait a second, we're going to go over, right? And, you know, we've been keeping them fairly short. But, and I'm not going over because I like to hear myself talk. I go over when there's something special going on, like somebody new is on. Now, as new people start coming on, that's going to be a whole nother learning experience for me and for you, because we're going to have to integrate them. And I was thinking that in my mind, you guys have been on the line holding energy for it are kind of like elders, because that doesn't mean somebody new may be more advanced than you. They may be more advanced than me, but they don't have the vocabulary. They don't have, you know, the connection with the higher sources, at least in the way that we've created those sources. So we have to hold for them until they get it. And in that way, we will all be doing an immense service. And it's, sometimes people can't help but look at this kind of stuff. And it gets me so angry when they do it. They say, oh, my God, Wynn's got a lot of followers. Or Wynn, you know, everyone, just the sheep with Wynn. Or something like that, you know. And it, they don't get it. They don't see the higher view of things. That our planet is in such a desperate situation. And we have one of the most unique presentations of the higher realms that's ever been presented, as far as I can tell. And it's not because I have, how can I say it? It's because, yeah, I have certain talents. I'm a good speaker. I can jump in and not be afraid, but I've learned how to do that. I inspire women who are channels, okay? And I have an innate wisdom of how this realm works, okay? That's what I come to the table with. But I'm not attached to getting recognized for those things. You know, a good portion of my life, people used to say, oh, you're so talented. And I didn't even like it then, because it's a way of dismissing something which is inherently spiritual and turning it into worldly. Well, talent is a worldly thing. Gifts are a worldly thing. Oh, you have so many gifts. Well, every one of you has gifts. They're different than my gifts. I happen to be exceptional in certain things, but I'm not attached to it. I've just been screwing around in this realm longer than many people, okay? And so I picked up a few things here and there. But every one of you has gifts in your own unique way. And, you know, as the rock group puts it, they said, you know, if you, now, how should I get this right? You know, there have been two times that they referred to when there was a planetary configuration that was allowing people to graduate this realm, okay? 50,000 years ago and 25,000 years ago. And I believe there were people 25,000 years ago that were eligible to graduate that didn't do it, okay? They even quoted who they were. I think one of them was Saint Teresa, and one of them was Saint Francis of Assisi. Assisi, not Assisi. So it's like, why didn't they do it? Well, they stayed in this realm because it was so, it gets to become so rare for someone to be that advanced in this realm that they didn't want to leave the realm. They wanted to come back and keep being there for people. They didn't mention St. Catherine, but maybe it was the same thing was true for St. Catherine. Was it true for me? Probably. They didn't mention me, though. Maybe I wasn't ready then. But it's like we are creating foundation in this realm. Do we want to keep coming back in this realm? That is totally your free will choice. For some of you, it's so hard, you might qualify to graduate. Do you understand why 25,000 years and 50,000 years were, and right now, are milestones in terms of graduation? Do you guys understand that? Your mics are open.
Oh, I don't. Why?
Anybody else not understand? Does everybody understand?
Nope. I understand.
Is anybody afraid to talk?
Hi.
Who is that? Okay, let me tell you the answer to that question. You know, this is something that I used to talk about all the time when we first started. And it was kind of in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And it was in the raw material. And it's in our material. If you imagine this center point in the middle of the universe, where everything, the energy emanates from, it goes into this realm. That energy travels through the galaxies, the planets, directly to us. It is changing. You know, one thing, it changes according to whatever it's moving near, because it reconfigures itself to be us. It reconfigures itself to be a planet. But it doesn't completely reconfigure itself, because there's still enough to keep flowing through and make more, okay? So this is like paintbrush for the universe, so to speak, this energy that flows through the galaxies. And it also has highs and lows of amplitude. In other words, depending on the configuration of the galaxies and the planets, but more the galaxies here, it's moving through all the galaxies, and that every 25,000 years, the galaxies are in a configuration that this energy is higher than it is any other time in the cycle. When the energy is higher, we have the ability in this realm to have more connection to the higher realms, because that energy is a bridge. We have more ability to create intentions, to create group energy right on the spot without having to be in the same location. And as we ground ourselves in a higher dimension, as we learn to keep our fourth chakra open 51% of the time, or be of service 51% of the time, as we learn to do that, and it becomes second nature, then our energy is extending into 4D while we're in a body. And it's not like we're either here or we're there. We're both places, okay? Because it's all one, ultimately. That's the ultimate truth of everything. So as we get used to hanging out there, and some of us could be hanging out in 5D, and some of us could be hanging out in 6D. But you can't be ambitious for this. You have to go to your next place, because otherwise you're not ready for that. You have to go through the process of the learning. And for most people, it's 4D, the astral, okay? And the heaven worlds are in the astral. That's where people come to get repaired, and then they come back to Earth. So this graduation thing is not like a reward, like for being a good person. It's because you have established your energy in that level. So when you die, you have an easy access to the level where your energy is established. And theoretically, you could do that at any time. But because we're at the end of a 75,000-year cycle, and because those galactic energies are stronger now than they ever have been, certainly for 75,000-year cycle, might be stronger than the 25,000-year cycle, as I recall. So it's kind of like you have the tools now to graduate, where it's easier. Now, you know, one of the things that increases this energy flow is pyramids. One of the reasons for pyramids is to create initiation chambers where people can go into them and expand their chakra systems, you know, expand their heart energies. Because the initiation, the pyramids amplify this slow galactic energy we're talking about. And in fact, we built a little, it's amazing to try this. We did this. You can get plans on the internet. It costs almost no money. We built three PVC pipes. Cost, I think, or maybe four PVC pipes, which cost about $10. And then we, you know, drilled holes in them and tied them together at the top, stretched them out, and we would stand in it in Terry's backyard, and the energy was incredible. I mean, even with the increased energy flowing in, the PVC pyramid, and I didn't think you could do it with PVC. I thought you needed to do it with copper. But I fell asleep in it. It was really peaceful. Anyone ever have a personal experience with a pyramid like that?
I know one you can wear on your head.
You have one you wore on your head? Could you feel the energy of it?
Yeah,
you feel the energy? Yeah. Who is that? Who is that saying that?
I got one of Fred Bell's pyramids, you know?
You did? Okay. You know, I was at Fred Bell's house, and he had me call in the light and bring in energy to protect him from bad vibes from his neighbors in Laguna Beach.
I was at his house, too.
You were at his house before I was at his house, right?
Right. Yeah. I really liked him.
Yeah. Anyone else have an experience with a pyramid? Anyone ever read about pyramids?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I got mine hanging in my room.
You do?
I get it on too, so it always points north.
Is that Dharmananda?
Yeah. I got a magnet on it, so it always points north.
Uh-huh. And can you feel the energy when you're under it?
I'm used to it.
You're used to it now. Okay. All right. I mean,
where
one of my...
Did you have a call from inside your pyramid?
One of these days, I'm going to make some pyramids and sell them cheaply, okay? I mean, you can make them yourself, really. You can buy the parts for $10. And then you have to look on the internet because it'll show the ratio of dimensions. And all you have to do is figure out how to, people even have directions on the internet, how to, you know, join them all at the top and spread them out. And you can just tie rope connecting the bases so that you don't need to buy more pipe for that. And it's amazing. You know, people say you can keep razor blades sharp, plants grow better in it, all kinds of stuff. But, you know, we tap into those energies right on these calls. And so going back to whole planet healing, I'm looking at how we have to, I would like to see us working together as a team. And as a team, for people to know consciously that they're holding the energy for other people. And that makes it stronger. It makes it easier. Then our sources come through our team, and when somebody new is on the line, they can pick it up if they're the least bit sensitive. And, you know, I made a flyer. You know, it's like really hard to figure out what do you put on a flyer to make people curious enough to check something out. And I'm not sure I got it right, but I did come up with a prototype. And if any of you would like a PDF of the flyer, send me an email and I'll send you the PDF. And print a couple, and just carry them around with you. And you feel so inclined, hand it to somebody. Because the proof is in the pudding. If you hand the flyer to somebody with good energy, how many people will come and check out the call? And we had our first success. Terry was in the doctor's office. You want to tell the story, Terry?
Yeah, I took the flyers in my purse, and there was a bunch of people in the doctor's office, and so I gave each of them a flyer to them. And one lady taught a fitness class, and she says, I'm going to put it up in my fitness class. And another lady came into the call. And so I was really tickled with that.
Now, what was interesting, Terry said after the call, she was on the call, God, she probably didn't have a clue what you were doing, right?
Yeah, I thought, oh, man, that was a steep gradient for a new person, but she felt better afterwards. And I thought, all right, the Elohim are working away.
She told Terry she felt better afterwards.
Yeah.
And what I noticed is she was, no, I don't think she's on this call. Are you on this call, that person? I don't want to embarrass you. I don't think she knows about these calls.
But she might listen. So we better be good.
Well, I'm not saying anything at all embarrassing. I'm only commenting on the fact that you gave her a flyer, and
yeah,
she came on the call.
She came,
then
the call.
She came on a second time, and then she told Terry it really worked. My depression went away. So listen, guys, I repeat again, this is a call to action. Send me an email and say, win. Send me a copy of the flyer, right? And you can print it out, or you can email it to somebody. And don't just... You know, the thing is just do it and let it go. Don't try to explain it to people. And then the theory is people will come into the call, and then they'll be curious enough, because we read our little channeling sessions and everything, at a certain point, they'll check on the rest of our material and get a deeper look at things. That's the experiment where we're going to. And I took all this time because, you know, the more you guys are involved telling people about things, the safer it is for me. It's harder for me to promote myself. It just makes me more vulnerable. But Kelly did a good job in spite of that. You know, I don't know how she had the courage to pass the flyers out, but good work, Kelly. So,
yeah, I'm going to pass them out to some other people. You know, I was so tickled that I was thanking people for the donations, and I got to one to thank her, and there was an address box and a box for the message, and the whole box turned pink, and I'm going, what? It's the color of the Elohim, just the light pink. And, I mean, I was so tickled by that.
Well, you know what, there's been, I don't talk about it all the time, but some of you have heard me talk. There has been many incidents where the Elohim have said that that when their energy interfaces with our energy, the color is pink. And,
yeah.
And we've seen that happen enough that it's almost funny. And sometimes they're funny. Like one time, this guy was listening to our call, and he was listening to it on Real Player, and he was feeling really expanded on the call, and his Real Player went from black to pink, and he sent me a copy of it, right? And another time, Terry was taking my picture, and I have these pictures. I have these pictures, and occasionally I put them out, but I don't like putting them out because I don't want people to think I'm exalted, because people can draw that conclusion. But she took a picture of me for a radio show I was going to be on, and the woman wanted me to have a promo picture without me wearing glasses. So she took the picture, and I looked at it, and I said, I don't like that. I don't look good. I look nerdy. So I said, let's take it again. And then I said, okay, we'll call in the light and see if I can't shift the energy, right? So we called in the light. Terry took another picture, and I still looked nerdy. I didn't like it, so I forgot about it. And then about a week later, I looked in my camera at the two pictures. And on the second picture, after I called in the light, there was all this pink around my chest, okay? And it was, of course, we did a channeling, and they said, well, you know, that's our color. You called on us. I think that's the first time I discovered that pink was their color, okay? And then it happened in some other pictures where there was lots of pink in the picture. One time I was giving a talk in somebody's backyard, and I was just covered with pink. They couldn't even see me. And
the other people weren't.
So, hey, if you guys want those pictures, send me an email. I don't want to put it out in the public because people already think I'm weird enough, but ask me and I'll send you the pictures and you'll enjoy them.
Grace.
And Roger.
Grace. The pink.
Grace.
Is that Grace?
Well, when things are pink. Well, I never asked that question, Dharmananda, if that was Grace, okay? I don't know. It's like one time...
Somewhere in the book it says that the Grace color is silvery golden sparklets.
Right.
Somewhere in the book.
Yeah. I mean, I see little sparklets, and I'll bet some of you do, and you don't even know you do. But, you know, I don't try to, I can't understand it, Dharmananda. You know, I'm just telling you that there's enough phenomena that the Elohim can project into this realm to sink a ship. And whether it's energy coming in through your crown chakra or feeling your depressions leave, it's like, or pink. Some people see the pink. I don't see it. It only comes out on pictures.
Sometimes I see it, like before I'm channeling, and they just come in and I see pink with my eyes closed.
A lot of times at night I see little little sprites of light that just blink on and off real quick.
That might be Grace. Because Grace is this little sparklets of light, which are them unlocking stuck points, and they give off a little light when the stuck points unlock. When?
I'm looking at the questions tonight, and I didn't do the questions. Helen, you had the question, why are there mosquitoes, okay? And
did somebody else have before, didn't they?
No, they asked about cockroaches.
No, I think they asked about mosquitoes before.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Maybe so. The simple answer are, why are there humans? Okay. And then Don asked about connecting with your higher self. Don, simple answer to that, as I get it. When you move into your energy field, your energy field goes on and on and on, theoretically, potentially. But the part of it that is everybody has is their higher self. Even if it's not expanded, at least they have a part of their energy field that has the potential to expand, the potential to connect with others, and that a person can access and get some kind of intuitive guidance from the higher aspect of himself. But I don't think it connects with a specific chakra. But you can ask that next week, and I'll ask it. The really important question here is from Meryl. And she's talking about some weird phenomena when she's driving, and something weird happens, and she can't figure out what it is, okay? So please ask that again next week now, okay? Those are the three questions that came in for today. And I just wanted to take this opportunity to create a vision for the future of Whole Planet Healing. And if they'll let me on George Norrie again, I will make it the focus of a conversation. And it's a little scary because we're going to have to be prepared. You're going to have to be prepared. I'm going to have to be prepared to handle how many people will show up if I do that. Now, you may not let me do it, okay? But at some point, I might ask you all to send them an email to say, let Lynn talk about Whole Planet Healing, because I think you might let me do it, okay? So in any case, I'm just preparing you. And anybody want to, we got about 2 minutes left. Anyone want to make a comment? Hello, hello.
Well, I would love to hear
Maybe you should put that on the Facebook page.
Well, I could. You know, I want to tell you that I want to get the feel of new people coming in and how to integrate them, okay? And I want to do that a little bit before I go on George Norrie, because I don't want to lose the ambience that we have. I will lose it. I mean, I'll lose it to a certain extent, and then it'll bounce back. But I hope. But if I do it wrong, if it looks like I'm just, like, hungry for followers, I won't get the right kinds of people. Of course, I can mute people. I can say, I can change the phone number and say we're starting over. I can do all those kinds of things. But time is running out for the work we're doing. So I really want to do it fast. And yes, a Facebook page would be good. If somebody would moderate the Facebook page, okay? Everything I do takes a certain amount of administration. And it's not a good use of my time to administrate those things. But in any case, thanks for that comment. And anyone else have anything to share?
When, this is Melissa in California.
Yeah.
I thought you were fantastic on Coast to Coast the last time you were on. I think that if some of us would write in to Lex Lonehood, the webmaster or the producer, Lisa, and request that you be on. And I think the last time you were on, you rang so true. There wasn't a glitch. There wasn't a skip. You didn't miss a beat. It was so smooth, and you got along so well. The energy with George. And I think speaking your truth and speaking the light and doing what you do, it didn't seem as though you were soliciting anything. It's just the way you were, it just attracted people, and you got more, you know, listeners, and it'll just happen because it just comes naturally when you're speaking your truth.
Well, you know, I will tell you, the last, I don't know if you heard the last time or the time before, but the last time I was on George, from George's point of view, it was not good. But we had, I'll give you an example of negative attacks.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, I picked a topic. I sent George questions. I called up. Nobody got back to me. And then 20 minutes before the show, everyone's saying, where are your questions? They didn't get the questions.
Oh.
So I sent the questions again. And then I get the message, George doesn't want to do that topic. He wants you to talk about the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And then George was winging it, and I was winging it. I was supposed to be on for 2 hours, and I was cut off after an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And George was not pleased with that call, even though I thought it was okay, even in spite of all the stuff. So for a while,
you didn't have questions, and you didn't know where you were going. And
you didn't have questions.
One,
you know, there were a couple
one,
of things that
a couple
were awkward,
things would have been better.
Awkward from his point of view.
Yeah.
But it was mostly because he didn't have questions or he didn't try to correct the questions, you know?
Right, yeah.
So,
George is more formatic. He's more by the book. He's got to be sure that, you know, it's all going to come off, and he's got that,
yeah,
that structural his birthday's on the 4th. That's his foundation and teaching,
yeah,
and learning and structure, and there's not a lot of creativity. There's the number one attitude, which is kind of critical. There's the 7, you know, it's a little edgy, and he does kind of make sure he highlights himself, I have to say.
Yeah.
So the second time was great. I mean, just a couple of years ago, it was just wonderful. And, you know, he was trying to get his bearings, and he doesn't understand how to, you know, he's just, okay, everyone knows, you know, the book. I mean, I met you twice, you know, out in these events, and we were talking about the book when you were, before you actually went, you know, it just came out. And so, you know, I knew about it. A lot of people knew about it. And he wants to go with, you know, the tried and true and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the second time, I wasn't it different, though?
The very first time I was on George was in 2004 when I talked about the book.
Okay.
I mean, you guys don't know, I mean, all the stuff that's happened. I mean, you don't have a clue. It's like, but I'm not going to go into it now because we got to get into whole life, whole planet healing.
Right.
But in general, the first time I was on, I redirected a lot of George's questions, and he let me do it,
yeah,
because I really wanted to make my point, and he was too linear, and he didn't know how, but he let me do it. He let me
he asked me something and I would go in another direction, and sometimes I'd come back to what he asked me. But he was really pleased with it in spite of that.
Well, that's good.
And
he likes to be good to his guests, though, too. So.
Well, people were responding to me. So many people
right.
were responding after the, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Lisa took a chance on putting me on.
Right.
You know, the way it happened was I had been on before with the reincarnation. We got to get on Whole Planet Healing. I will see you guys
okay.
in a minute, okay?
Okay.